Have you ever had one of those moments in life where you really didn't want to go through something or didn't want something to happen, even though what was coming next was far better for you in the long run? I've had a few of those. I know one, I got let go kind of as collateral damage from a job, and when Beth and I went through that, it just, you know, the pain and the wondering and all that stuff, and then several years later, the organization went through some major crap, and we got to avoid all that, and so looking back, we got to avoid that. I think every surgery I've ever had, Beth's ever had, I think falls in that category. You know it's coming. You're not excited about it, but if it works, then life gets better. Dave's smiling because he's at that point, two knee surgeries. Would you suggest that far apart, what was it, 6 weeks? 4 weeks? Would you suggest that to anybody?
No.
No, so all right. So we as a church family, we want to encourage and pass on wisdom. So if you have that opportunity, Dave says no. Wait, put some time between them. Anybody else have one of those examples of you really didn't want to, but afterwards it was a better scenario? Just me, that's great. Judy. I would think that anybody that had heart surgery would definitely, that would be one of those. Like I said, is there any surgery that doesn't fit in that category? Woo, I'm having surgery. If that's one of you, then I'm worried about you because you're addicted to the drugs they give you before or after is the only thing. Or your spouse has to baby you for a long length of time. Anybody else? Just one of those examples? Yeah. Oh, amen. Amen. That's a whole list of things in there, right? I would think moving for a job, we've never had to move like away from family, but I know that's one of those things that you get your dream job, but it means that you have to move across the country and away from everything you know. I know people that have gone through that. Did you know that the disciples had one of those moments? John 16:6-7. Says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So obviously the context of this is what? Jesus is speaking. It's toward the end of his ministry. He's trying to prepare the disciples that he was going to leave them after this 3 years of ministry and relationship and all that stuff. And we can see, and you know, he even calls on you. I can see that you guys are sad about this. I mean, here, this guy comes in their lives, he's working miracles, he's doing all these things, and then, you know, they have that moment where they see him die, and they think everything is a wash, and then they see him come back to life, and then here he's going, hey, I'm done. So we can see why the disciples might be feeling sad at this. But as I read that verse this time, the part that just stuck out to me was, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, I'm sure I've read this verse, this section of verses, I don't know how many times in life. And if I'm honest, I mean, the idea of how many here, I mean, have you ever wanted to just be able to be with Jesus or to be jealous of the disciples that they got to walk with him and eat with him and see his miracles and all that stuff? I mean, I think it's wired into our faith in some way that we think, man, they really had something cool. And yet, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, it is to your advantage that I leave. Can you imagine how they heard that? Again, and even, you know, they had missed so many things. You know, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again. How many times did Jesus get that? And they didn't hear it. And so here he's going, look, I love you guys, but it is better that I go because something better is coming. That is, like I said, it never struck me until I was prepping this sermon, that concept. And yet, when you think about it, there are a number of things that I think fall into this. Number one, Jesus Christ was 100% human, right? So even if he didn't ascend back into heaven, guess what? None of you would have met him. Just because he was also fully God doesn't mean that he was going to get to live for 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years. So he was mortal. So he would have still passed away. Number two, God had wanted to move from out here to in here. Now, when we talk about Jesus living in our heart, we're really talking about the Spirit and the whole three-in-one and the Trinity. Right? When Jesus was on the planet, he was a human. A human's not going to live in your heart, right? And so the relationship was changing at that point. And you know, and even toward the end, where, you know, from between the ascension and the resurrection, Jesus would pop in on people. You know, he'd come through walls. He would surprise them and he would leave. That's the only time we saw that. And yet here, when we're talking about the Spirit is in you all of the time, just like he is every other Christian on the planet. The Spirit means perfect accessibility. Now, yes, Jesus Christ could multiply himself. He's God. He could do all sorts of miraculous things. But that was not Jesus' job. Jesus had completed the mission. We're worshiping, right? Christmas, the manger, all of that stuff. Jesus had accomplished what God had for him. And now this was the next turning of the page. And I'm sure if you think about this and that whole idea of it was an advantage that Jesus would go, you might be able to come up with some other reasons. But here's the thing. I mean, again, it had gone all into God's perfect plan. I mean, Jesus, again, the manger, Emmanuel, what's it mean? God with us. And here's the point. Even though Jesus is telling his disciples, it's an advantage that I leave, it doesn't mean that what God was leaving, right? Just before these verses, God had told his disciples, I will never leave them or forsake you, right? So this was all God's plan. So, to put this in the context as we finish up the sermon series today, this whole seek him thing. And I know we have covered a whole lot in the last 6 sermons in this series. You know, to begin, just again, that we have to have a soft heart and be pliable toward God and be able to really to listen to him. We have to get real with who we are and understand our sinfulness and our need. We have to understand that we really need to approach God on his terms. We don't get to do it on our terms, and when we do so, there's a disconnect, and there's going to be consequences of that. We saw that as we go through that process, he is rich in grace and holiness, and there's amazing power in that. And then as we kind of turn the corner about truly seeking him and obeying him, and even last week, you know, setting your captives free, whether your captives is self or it's somebody else. And I would encourage you, I know that sermon hit a few of you, and you shared that you had some forgiving to do. Just, I encourage you to keep up the good work. Just keep praying, keep seeking him. He's in that process. He can bring you to that place of forgiveness, and truly you will be set free. Well, today, as we wrap this up, I think we understand that God is constantly with us. And in this seeking process, he doesn't leave us to our own devices. I think sometimes when we look at our Christian faith and we're trying to live it out, it feels like we're trying to do it on our own power. And if you are, then we're missing the boat, because that's never what God intended for us. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. And he has given us this great helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial for walking in the faith. And frankly, he's crucial in this entire process of seeking God. A.W. Tozer, who is a great Christian author and theologian, wrote this, because I think we need to understand this whole Spirit thing. It said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. I think sometimes you meet people when you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and it is. It's the tough part of the Trinity, right? God the Father. We can grasp that one, you know, whether we put a image to him or not. The big, all-powerful God sitting in the throne, usually with a big, long beard and, you know, hair. No, that's Santa. But, I mean, the Father and then Jesus, we can kind of wrap our brains around him because he walked on the planet and he interacted with people. And then we have this Holy Spirit thing, right? And when you talk about living in the Spirit or having the Spirit in you, for some people that's just, there's a disconnect, especially if we're really grappling and dealing with either sin in our lives or stuff, then we definitely don't feel like we're a Spirit-filled individual. But what Tozer really hits is, look, this isn't an either-or. If you are a Christian, then that means that the Spirit is in you. It's not some more powerful type thing. It already exists, right? And we have to understand that when you bowed your knee, when you came to the realization that you needed Jesus Christ on the cross, blood to be paid for your sin. And when you went to that knee, you accepted that gift. Guess what? Part of it was not only your salvation, the washing away of your sin, it was the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so if you've done that, whether you feel like it or not, you need to realize that's in you, right? That's part of who you are in Christ. And the growth and maturity piece, I think sometimes we feel like, Okay, to truly walk in the Spirit and to truly exist and operate in God's power in our lives, we need to, you know, we need to get to the certain point. And I think what it is the growth and maturity that happens in our faith over time as we seek God. I think our willingness to listen to Him becomes quicker. Probably our ability to sense and hear Him might become a little easier. And maybe I would hope and pray that as we do hear from Him, maybe we're just quicker to obey. So it's not that we can't hear Him young in the faith. It's a new thing to be able to tap into and be able to hear what the Spirit is telling us. So the Bible has a lot, especially the New Testament, has an incredible amount to say about the Spirit. But we're just going to hit just a few things to again, in this concept, if I'm going to daily seek God, live the way He intends, then that means the Spirit has to be an integral part of that. First one, John 14, 16. Now ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, and this is the same kind of vibe that Jesus already said, to be with you forever. And here's that idea that, again, God is with you forever. And it's not just now. I mean, the Spirit's going to be your companion on the other side as well. And I think why this is so important and why we have to drive this home is there are times in life that it feels like God is not with you. Life gets tough, life gets hard, and guess what? Satan wants to whisper in your ear that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love you. God didn't, you know, He was too busy. Those are all lies from Satan. You have an advocate that is with you forever. He understands your pain. He hears the cries of your heart. And so even in the darkest places of the life, we need to understand that you are never alone. I mean, that is, how many people out, you know, especially during the Christmas season, I would dare say probably a few of those individuals that we ministered to at the river last week feel alone. You know, their families have dropped them. And maybe it's their own consequences. Maybe they've burned all those bridges. And yet, guess what? They're not alone. They have a loving Heavenly Father in heaven that absolutely loves them. And again, when we accept Christ, that Spirit is within us. And then when we hear that, I am always there for you. This is not just some BFF thing, right? We have friends, I got your back. I'll always be, just give me a call, all that. That's great. And if you have some of those individuals, fantastic. This goes deeper than that. Look at the next verse, 17. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. You know Him because He abides with you and He will be in you. This is intimacy to the utmost degree. We worship a God that is so incredibly loving that He actually comes in and resides and lives with your own soul in your body, in your spirit. He knows your deepest, He knows you better than you do. He knows you at your deepest levels. He understands your insecurities. He understands your strength. He knows your future. He can speak to your deepest needs better than anybody else because He is the one that knows them. And that abide piece, I mean, this is way more than just walking down the same path. I mean, this is a melding of life to abide. Again, not only are you never alone, and He brings love, He brings comfort, He brings presence, but it goes even beyond that. Look at Romans 8, 16 and 17. It is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What is this saying? Someday you will stand before God during the judgment. I don't care who you are, there is no avoiding this. And I will tell you, on that day, you are going to want the Holy Spirit to point at you before God the Father and go, yep, He's one of ours. The Spirit is the witness, right? If He does not, it's done. It's the Spirit that bears witness that He did that, right? That He was there at that moment when you accepted Christ's forgiveness and He came and resided. I mean, there is not going to be any posers in heaven. I don't care how good people can fool people on this planet. There are people that, man, they look like the best Christians out there, and eventually something happens. You're like, there was a disconnect somewhere. Guess what? When you stand before Almighty God, it's all going to be stripped away. And the Spirit will be the witness that you need. The Spirit knows your inner heart. He knows your condition, right? And then there becomes some real practical things with the Spirit. And what the Spirit does for us as we, again, as we seek God and we allow the Spirit to speak to us. John 16, 13, and 14 says this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. He will declare to you the things that are yet to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So three things here that we need to grasp in this whole idea of what the Spirit is doing. First thing, he will guide you into all truth. And for me, this is such an amazing aspect of God. I mean, it doesn't say he's going to guide you in some truth. I mean, it's pretty blatant. It's pretty clear. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, this is not some genie thing, right, that he's just going to instantly give you all knowledge and understanding. But what it is as we learn to listen to him, as we seek to him, he is constantly pointing out and pointing to real truth. I mean, how desperate are we in need of this? Look at all the junk that swirls around us on a regular basis because of the world, the flesh, our desires, the culture. I mean, my word, we live in a storm. Or better yet, if we go biblically, we live in a battle. We are at war. Doesn't always feel like, right? We get in that little comfortable zone of life, and we circle ourselves with Christian folk. We live in the holy huddle. And the only time we recognize or remind ourselves of that is when we're dumb enough to click on the TV and watch the news or read something on the internet. Then we well, that's right, we are at war, right? But here the Spirit is constantly telling us what truth is. But here's the thing. A guide is only good if you follow his advice. There are great stories online. I just told you not to go to the internet. All right, I'm going to be a hypocrite. There are great stories online. Well, great is, I guess, subjective. Of people that went on these either hunting trips or other things, and they don't listen to their guide, and they end up doing something terribly wrong, right? I will tell you, my brother-in-law has done African safaris twice, and he's like, there's something when you're in the back jungle and you're tenting it up and there's no lights, there's no people, there's snakes, there are all sorts of things, and their goal is to kill you, right? And my brother-in-law is a pretty brazen human being and all that stuff. I guarantee he listens to absolutely everything that guide has to say. Back in Michigan, back in Ohio, he'll do whatever he wants. In Africa, he is listening to his guide. I will tell you, this world is more dangerous to you than Africa was for my brother-in-law when it comes to spiritual things. And the Spirit wants to guide you. Will you listen to your guide? How much pain and suffering can we avoid by just doing what God tells us? But yet we fool ourselves and we trick ourselves into believing that we know something better. And we all do that, right? And so he will guide us in truth. Number two, we see here, he will declare to you the things that are to come. This does not mean that we get to become fortune tellers, right? If that was, I'd already been to Vegas, right? I'd be driving my Harley by now. But that's not it. So what he does is he gives us that heavenly perspective. And here's the thing, and I think this is important, right? This world is not our home. Your life, even if you live to be 100, is nothing compared to eternity. And no matter how bad it can get here, it's not the end. And I think we need the hope and the truth of the Spirit reminding of us of that fact that there is something better to come. And again, that just he reminds us that, man, and the thing is when we live in that right perspective, man, it changes our choice process. When we really understand that, well, if I do this, this will have impact for eternity, versus if I do this, ultimately, it'll just be a wash like so much of consumerism, materialism, and all that stuff that the world screams that that's what life's about. So the Spirit reminds us of that. Then it says, he will glorify me. Have any of you ever wondered about how your imperfect worship can be offered to God in any way that is acceptable to a perfect God? I mean, just think about that for a moment. I don't care how hard you work, how sincere you might be, how just loving it is, whatever you can bring to the table, the best form of worship, is it worthy to Almighty, perfect God? I would argue you might be the greatest person on the planet, but it's, compared to God, it's not. So how does it work? when we come here and we sing and we're 80% singing to God and we're 20% doing something else, or we just don't feel it, or even when we do feel it, the fact of the matter is the Holy Spirit takes that from you and forms it in such a way that is acceptable and meaningful to God. What an amazing gift. I mean, I would argue that one of the main reasons why you were created was for that very thing. And if you were created for it and you couldn't do it, then what's the point? It's the Spirit that allows for that. He perfects us. And so the Spirit helps us glorify God in a way that he can accept it, right? And those are just three things that the Spirit does. And I think they're amazing, and they really should bring meaning and challenge to our lives. And I would say, if I had you raise your hands, who of you wouldn't want the Spirit doing those things in your life? And it's there. It's available. I just told you, if you accepted Christ, the Spirit's in you, and all these are available to you. So then what's the disconnect? Well, here's the reality, and Jesus Christ understood it, and Paul understood it, when it comes to the Spirit. Galatians 5:17. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. I don't have to sell this that hard. Why? Because we've all experienced it. Probably this last week, right? God comes and he encourages you and he invites you into something. And you have to choose. Are you going to listen? Are you going to obey? Are you going to walk in the Spirit? Or frankly, are you going to do what you want to do? Again, I will tell you. If you're here this morning, good for you. Why? Because you listen to the Spirit. I will venture that there are people that lost that battle that God wanted here this morning, and they lost because they chose to lay in bed or do something else. And I think that on a daily basis, we have these opportunities to either walk in the Spirit or to allow flesh to decide what we do and how we walk. And I think Paul understood it. That's why the verse before it, he said this: live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. Here it is. You can't have your cake and eat it too. It is one way or the other. You will either walk in the Spirit or you will walk in the flesh. And if we are living by the Spirit, Paul tells us again, he tells us again the same thing that Jesus did, Galatians 5:25, and I think we need to hit this on a regular basis because, again, we need to understand that. If we live by the Spirit, then also let us be guided by the Spirit. Again, he wants to be your guide. He wants to move you through the dangers of this world. He wants to make sure you don't miss any opportunity that is out there for the kingdom. He is available to you. Listen. So how does this work? How does this whole living in the Spirit and seeking him for guidance and all those things, how do we listen to the Spirit? Well, I think Romans 8, 5, and 6 gives us a major clue, right? So it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So we see the key here several different times, right? Set your mind. To obey the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to follow the Spirit is an act of will. You have to decide how you're going to live daily. Hourly, minute by minute, are you going to choose to follow the Spirit? And again, God doesn't force it. This is that wonderful, we've heard it, but free will, right? It is that peace, that free will. You will always have the choice. God's not going to force you to do anything. And I want you to notice that last phrase there because I think it is key. To set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on Spirit is life and peace. And man, that verse or that line sounds so harsh, but here's the thing. Every choice we make, there is no, I'll put it this way. You cannot just get to a certain point in your faith and stay there. It's a fluid thing. You are a product of every choice you make. And again, it's as simple as, am I choosing the Spirit or am I choosing the flesh? The Spirit is life and peace. The flesh is death. Christianity is hard, but it's simple, right? It boils down to exactly that. And here's the thing, God offers that to all of us, and yet we continue to go and pick things that draw our hearts away from God, because the Spirit's not going to force the issue. But here's the thing. When the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit again, life and peace. I mean, if you offered anybody, whether they're Christian or not, if you say, look, you can have a life, true life, and peace and joy and all that stuff, who wouldn't take it? But the disconnect, and I think this is because Satan's really good at what he does and he lies to people, is that in this world, if I get to choose things my own way, that's what is ultimately going to make me happy, right? Because that's what the world tells me. And I don't care if it's sex, drugs, rock and roll, or a lot of stuff, it all ends up in the same spot. And it doesn't draw you to the Father, it draws you to death. And here's the thing, and the Spirit wants so much more, and we see that in Galatians again. Contrast, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I mean, I can stand here and tell you the most beautiful lies I've ever encountered in my life all belong to Christians. And that's not some judgmental thing against people that are more secular. It's just the truth of the matter. When you come across someone who has allowed God to rule and reign and transform their lives, then you get to see that exact stuff. I mean, look at that. How many, I mean, if that is your epitaph, if I get to do your funeral someday and I can say, you know what, I looked at all the verses and the best thing I can say about this person is that they were in love, joyful, peaceful, they were kind, they were generous, they were faithful, they were gentle, they were self, is there anything better than that? There's only one way to get it. And that is allowing the Spirit to have rule and reign in your life. We've all seen what the world has to offer, and in comparison, it is nothing compared to what God wants to offer you. This morning, God again is inviting and encouraging you to a life of the biggest and best adventure that you can live. A life of truly seeking God brings transformation. It brings blessing, but it's tough. Don't give up. Keep pushing for it. Keep fighting for it, and just watch what God can do in and through you. Every day, seek Him. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are a good and amazing God, and we are, again, just humbled by the truth of your word and that you love us so much that you sent the Spirit to live in us and to be able to be our guide and to minister our hearts and to show us truth, to remind us of our home yet to come. And we confess, Lord, so often we take our eyes off that prize and we allow the world to whisper the lies to us about what life is all about. And so for everyone here and frankly everyone that calls Living Hope their church home, Lord, give us the strength to keep fighting. Give us the strength to have that growing desire for you and just to be able to daily seek you, to take every opportunity for your kingdom, to break us free from the stuff in our lives that are keeping us from you, whether it's pride, whether it's unforgiveness, whether it's selfishness. Lord, we just lay those up to you and we beg that you would help us break free from those things because we want that Spirit-filled life. We want a life of peace and joy, and to be able to reflect all those things that you do in our lives, Lord. Again, we thank you for your amazing love and goodness, and we just humbly ask that you would just keep working on us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.